Greetings and welcome to the Cathartic Yardstick with Ray and Mark. Today we sort out the results of our inner Kardashian test. NASA's thinking of launching the Kardashians into space so they can study the effects of weightlessness on, well, weightlessness. Seriously. Bible. Oh my god, is that cellulite? Chris, where's my T-Tox?
All right, well, we've got the Eddies fired up, and welcome to the Cathartic Yardstick Podcast. And tonight we have a special guest in the podcast studios, and it is Elise, my daughter. I say that our special guest as if that's really a thing, like this podcast is really a thing.
Right. But, well, we're really here, I think, so.
We are really here.
But it's our first guest. How exciting.
Yeah, really? Yeah. You know, I've been a listener from the beginning, and it's been just weeks of excitement leading up to this, so.
You're just hanging, waiting for the next episode to
drop? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I really am. I'm a huge podcast listener. Every spare second I get that I'm alone by myself, I'm listening, and I genuinely love this podcast. So even if it wasn't my dad, I'd listen.
Wow. We brought you on because you are our resident Kardashian expert.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
And you've heard that podcast and the results, you know, in the first test, the one from BuzzFeed, we ended up both being Chris. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea what that means. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say you don't know what it means, because before you even recorded the podcast, you told me you did not want to be Chris.
I guess it's a perception, mm-hmm, that you wouldn't want to be Chris. Mm-hmm. Maybe from that Saturday Night Live sketch. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably,
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the perception that they give on the show. I mean, it's kind of ironic that as much access as we have to the Kardashians, I mean, you guys discovered there are many, many shows, not just the original Keeping Up with the Kardashians. They have apps, they have Twitter feeds, they have Instagram, Snapchats. It's all still really edited for this kind of this drama and dynamic. And, you know, I was thinking about it as I was getting ready to come on the podcast, and I really feel like they are modern day demigods. They're living out in the mountains of California, and, you know, they're so flawed and human, we can relate to them, but they're kind of more than human at the same time, this kind of royalty. And, you know, my first thought about you guys being Chris is maybe it's just a generational thing based, mm-hmm, on how you answered. You know, you're closest in age to Chris. You're both the heads of families. You have children who are adults. And so maybe that kind of played into it. And I think Chris kind of gets a bad rap. You know, they call her a momager on the show, where she's like overly involved and kind of profiting off of her kid's success, which I was surprised that you guys still got Chris, because neither of you answered, you know, I'm happy for people's success, but how can it benefit me? And I thought, mm-hmm, I thought that's how you guys were going to go, knowing that you both got Chris, but it wasn't. And I think, you know, I think she is someone who is really business savvy, and I think that can be relatable. I feel like there's always two sides to things. It's kind of like a tarot reading, like you got Chris upside down. So it's, you know, maybe not necessarily who you exactly are, but maybe there's some traits that you can kind of reflect on and think about, you know, in terms of also she is someone who's incredibly relevant to young people and on social media. And that's not something that's really common for her generation. And, you know, just speaking of knowing you, obviously, Dad, that you are someone who is up on social media. You know, you have a playlist called, like, What the Kids Are Listening To.
I do.
So I think she's someone who kind of bridges that generational gap and she's not falling behind. She's not seeming, like, irrelevant, which I think is part of what this podcast is doing, too. I mean, you're jumping on this media, even though you both think you're doing a radio show. You're here in podcast world.
I didn't even want to be a Kardashian.
Right.
I'm Lord Disick. I don't really have a black belt. I'm just wearing one.
Right.
Being Chris is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I don't think so. I mean, none of this would be around if it wasn't for Chris. She was the one who saw the opportunity and made a run for it, making all of these. You know, she manages it all. She's the one who, the glue that holds it all together. And maybe that's something that you can relate to either at work or with your family or friends, that, you know, you're kind of a glue holding things together that, you know, could go off the wires otherwise.
So you're saying she's the most mature, responsible Kardashian?
Yeah.
So how did Mark get it?
How sad is that?
And how did Mark get that?
So maybe he's the one who's Chris upside down in the tarot card.
Maybe.
I like Lisa's analysis. I think we should keep her on the show.
Okay, yeah.
I'm happy to come back anytime.
All right. So, which kind of begs the whole question, I think, of, you know, what is this value that we put on celebrity? The Kardashians, have they contributed anything significant to society? Have they done anything heroic? Have they made any great sacrifices? Why do we put them up on a pedestal? What is it about them that we just can't get enough of, that we find fascinating?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this can go in so many directions. And the first thing that comes to mind is something that the Kardashians are always criticized for is like their kind of vapid nature, that they're, you know, they're doing all these plastic surgeries. They're very vain. They're not adding to society with, you know, the businesses that we typically think of or working typical jobs. But I know personally, I mean, they have brought me a lot of joy. You know, if you look at literally what they're adding to society, I mean, there are hundreds and probably thousands of people who are employed by some kind of Kardashian subsidiary through all of their businesses and through the TV shows.
This episode of our podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, we're here now talking about them. And that's what, right. You know, my response to people when they are kind of putting down the Kardashians is like, they are lasting. They are doing something right because they are still here and relevant. And maybe that's what they are. Maybe they're a reflection of our, like what we want to see. I know something that I used to love watching the Kardashians when I was really stressed out at work because I could just watch other people cry about how someone got their salad order wrong. It felt very cathartic, you could say.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, I think they add a lot. I would say you could maybe call it performance art.
Okay.
Well, here's one for you guys. See what your take on this is. And mm-hmm. I think the Kardashians are actually part of the dynamic. But in the 60s and 70s, you know, obviously you had a lot of scripted television. Mm-hmm. And it was all storytelling. And Westerns were big. And in the 70s, Westerns went away and police dramas came in. But then reality television started. And mm-hmm. obviously it's very inexpensive to produce. And so you had a few of them on at once. And I looked at it and I said, this is awful. This can't possibly last. And it not only lasted, but it became almost a substitute for scripted television. So beyond the Kardashians, what is it about reality television? We kind of blend in fame, like artist fame, with celebrity, whether mm-hmm. it's in politics or television or society. So what's going on here?
I'm not sure. I think part of it is a certain amount of voyeurism, especially with the reality TV shows. Yeah. There's a certain fascination of, you know, taking that peek under the hood, looking at somebody else's life. And they do tend to be, the reality shows, people whose lifestyles aren't the same as ours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of, well, it started with like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, mm-hmm. you know, in the 80s. And is it that we want to be rich and famous like the Kardashians? Is it like we want to like step into their shoes, take a spin in that world for an hour or however long that show is? It always seems very long.
Oh, it goes all day. Yeah. I don't think you couldn't watch it all if you wanted to. There's so much of them.
And I was going to say, I suppose that form of voyeurism is a lot more healthy than that telescope they took away from me.
Shh, we weren't supposed to talk about that stuff.
Oh, sorry. Edit.
The kids are here.
The kids are here. Hey, I was an astronomer.
They didn't have an astronomy major.
Oh, sorry.
One thing you hear a lot about now are influencers. Mm-hmm. People talk about they have so many influencers following them on Twitter or on their Instagram account, or they are influencers. What's that all about? And why do we care what they think?
Yeah. So, you know, this kind of ties into what you're just talking about, is why we care about reality television. When I think about the Kardashians, I think they are doing what we are told is desirable. So they are, you know, sculpting their bodies literally and physically, and with makeup to be ideal for what we think is ideal now. They are, you know, they have the right cars, they have the right friends, they are doing all these things correctly. And so I think influencers are people telling us what we should be aspiring to. Their beauty magazines and men's magazines, like in real life, their physical forms where advertisers aren't paying to put, you know, a Gucci ad in Cosmopolitan, they're going to pay a YouTuber to talk about the new purse that came out or the new Pixel phone that came out, and, you know, everyone's going to be buying that.
Yeah, and that's nothing new. Mark, maybe you can talk about this a little bit. In the movie Hard Day's Night, there's a scene where George ends up in some marketing department somewhere.
Oh, that's a great scene.
With a trendsetter.
That's right. Only Susan Candide, your resident teenager, and you'll have to love her. She's fab and all those other pimply hyperboles. Yeah, that's a great scene.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nothing new. Doesn't he say something like, we turn down the volume and make fun of her?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever she's on.
She's the posh bird on the telly who gets everything wrong. The lads and I often sit down and watch her for a giggle. I remember one time we wrote her letters telling her how gear she was and all that rubbish. Most of the time we just turn down the sound and say rude things.
Yeah. So this is nothing new. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's happened, though, and Andy Warhol kind of was hinting at it, is that you have this democratization of media. Mm-hmm. Basically, everyone has equal access. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever catches some traction and ends up trending, everyone's following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, companies are always looking to make the next viral video. And you can't do that. There's something out there in the ether that whatever right time, right place in the psyche of our society that picks up something and makes it viral and makes someone famous. And I don't think it's predictable. It's just kind of, it's the, yeah, everything coming together that becomes more the sum of its parts.
And I don't know what your observations are on this, Ray, but you know, it's interesting. At first, the way this starts out as you age, you'll find out, Elise, this is no fun. But anyways, yeah, what'll start out happening is that you'll see new shows or hear new music, and you'll get what's going on. It's just you'd prefer your style and your structure. It's what you're used to, and you recognize it's a generational thing. But every now and again, you'll be hit over the head where it's proof that you're out of the demographic. You're dead man shopping. I mean, you're just not in the demo. And I remember the first time I really started noticing it is I went to see a James Bond movie, and it suddenly dawned on me there was very little story, but a lot of explosions. And I said, where did the story go? I said, this is awful. And then I went to go see another movie, and it was the same way. And I think it was my kids who actually told me, no, that's the way movies are now. I thought, oh my gosh, what is going on? And so television is much the same way. The story stuff I can connect with. Reality television, I have a very difficult time with. Only because it just seems weightless. I mean, I don't get it. But that's because I'm out of the demographic, I presume.
Well, yeah, and I've seen, because Elise and Claudette have been watching it, like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, and I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of that show.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes in, and I've had enough.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, I feel like I'm a, quote, older millennial. I'm towards the top of the cusp, but it's still TV that I grew up with. I mean, I am used to people finding their one true love on television and people, you know, and reality television shows. And I'm used to that style of editing, too. I think it's not even just about, like, the actual content, but it's how shows are made. It's how they're cut together. It's the reaction shots. It's the music. It's everything like that. That's what I like, physically expect that when I'm watching a show, and I notice if it's not there. And I find myself less engaged with the show.
Yeah, and then there was like, I was at The Hills. You used to watch that.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember it seemed like it was an hour of people eating lunch and staring into space.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing, eating lunch. I mean, on the Kardashian quiz, it was where your lunch salad is from. I mean, it does seem that is what we want to see, is people eating large, not really appealing salads. That's what my generation is all about.
Wow. Now, one theory I had, and I don't know if this is valid or whether it's just a small bit of it is valid or what. But what I always wondered about is it possible that people go through their day, they have their troubles, they have their problems. I mean, maybe a check bounced, maybe the car broke down, I mean, wherever the heck it is. But at least you can go home and you can watch this family and you can sit there and go, no matter how bad my life gets, it's better than that. And I don't know if there's like comfort in seeing people that are more dysfunctional than your family could ever think of being.
Yeah, they're a little, yeah, definitely a little schadenfreude dealing with that.
Yeah, and I think there's also that whole issue of, you know, well, these people are rich, they have everything, but you know what? They're totally dysfunctional. At least I've got my act together.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So what is the intrinsic value of celebrity? And why do we put such a premium on it?
I mean, I think it's power. I think there's a lot of other things that you can attach to celebrity, but it's at its very base, if a celebrity is alone in a room, I think it's having power and influence. And then I think internally, it's about that celebrity being liked. I mean, I think we all have this drive to be liked and accepted and do something right. And literally, a celebrity can get likes on something that they did, and they can have a count of how many people liked it. And so I think having this power, feeling like you're doing something right, and then having all of this sensory input back in, I think is very psychologically appealing. And we want that too. We have Instagram feeds. I mean, you have an Instagram feed for this show, and I'm sure you get excited if people follow it or like it or share it.
Mm-hmm. How could they not? I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
Who wouldn't like it, really?
It's universal.
Another thing I wonder about is once upon a time we had heroes, whether they're sports heroes or war heroes, Audie Murphy or whatnot. And then we went through a phase where we seemed to build up a hero only for the fun of tearing them down. A scandal comes out or whatnot. And then we seem to have moved away from a need for heroes and leaders, and we became obsessed with celebrity. I just find that interesting. That's my observation. Why that is and the degree to which it is, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think something that millennials as a generational group get criticized a lot for is that we are very individualistic and kind of self-centered. And so I think the internet celebrity or influencer is not part of a big company. They're not part of, I think of like celebrities before the internet being movie stars. So they were attached to, you know, like we've talked a lot about James Bond. So they're part of this kind of big conglomerate with a movie studio and movie franchise. And an influencer is just someone, could be, you know, a teenager in their bedroom with an iPhone. And that's something very individualistic, kind of a self-starter, you know, and something accessible. I mean, I could do that. I could, you know, try to be an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And getting back to, Andy Warhol, he did, you know, is famous for saying that in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. And that's kind of misinterpreted sometimes as him saying that everyone's going to be famous, but it's not. It's that if you're famous, it's going to be very fleeting. Mm. The whole structure of what really merits fame, what really merits celebrity, was breaking down. And he could see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was part of that with like pop art, like not having this lofty idea of art, just everyday objects, just elevating them briefly to art status. And I think he saw that coming. And it basically was saying that fame in the future will be very fleeting. It'll just be based on whims, based on, you know, what's hot that day, and you know, maybe totally different tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's why things go viral, you know, they're for a second, you know, and maybe we'll remember a few every year, but, you know, a lot are forgotten. Absolutely.
Right. So, Mickey Mantle versus Chocolate Rain, which, you know, Mickey Mantle's been around forever. A generation from now, is anyone going to be talking about Chocolate Rain?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it took me a second to think, wait, did he have like a boxing match against someone named Chocolate Rain? So, yeah. And I think something that stands out that's different about the Kardashians is that they are so long lasting. And I think because they kind of started their fame at a much smaller level, but, you know, thinking about Rob Kardashian Sr., you know, being this kind of infamous lawyer in the 80s, they kind of started as this household name and then started with scandal. And like, we're kind of right at the beginning of this internet age, and they've just lasted. I mean, I really can't think of someone who wouldn't know them as a household name. And I think that that is what has kept them going through all of the ridiculousness.
Yeah. Now I have another reason to be mad at OJ.
Yeah.
This is all his fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that trial created a whole group of celebrities who've gone down to do all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So. When this podcast hits really big, Ray, we're not going to do Dancing with the Stars. Let's just make a promise.
Well, I don't know. I may want to try that.
Pinky swear. Come on. Don't do it.
All right. I won't do it.
Okay. You're going to have to do some sponsored Instagram posts, though.
Well, we're going to start sending out sample tapes to MeUndies and Squarespace.
Stamps.com.
Stamps.com.
Casper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dial a mattress. Mm-hmm. concluding thoughts on this issue?
I don't want to be a Kardashian. Don't make me take the test anymore.
All right. Well, you know what? Since Elise is here and she's a Kardashian expert, I think we ought to have her do one of these tests.
Ooh,
take the test. Take the test.
Now, this is going to be a different one. This is not one of the ones we took, but this is also in BuzzFeed. And the first question is, pick a color. And they go from like a kind of a brick reddish and a rose and brownish. There's like six colors. Which one?
Similar
do you like?
Color palette, though. I'm going to go top middle. That's a millennial pink.
Okay.
I do love that.
All right. That's locked in. Next question is pick a mansion.
Oh. All right. I'm going to go for the top right. It looks most like a cabin. Like you can make that
cozy.
Yeah,
that's kind of a deluxe log cabin is what we're looking at. So we're going to pick that.
The other ones are kind of very California-based looking with big pools.
Our next one, pick a salad.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I've got to pick the one with avocado on it.
Pick an accessory. Ooh. We've got a hat, a choker, a watch, a purse, a diamond ring, and some nice looking shoes.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go with the choker, though. I love those 90s vibes that are coming back.
And then pick a city. New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Paris, London, or Rome?
Yeah, I've been really loving L.A. recently, so I'm going to go for L.A. All right.
Pick a Kanye.
I just have too many thoughts. All right, the bottom right one, he seems happy and well-adjusted.
Okay, he's not wearing a MAGA hat.
No. just a smile.
And pick a way to spend $1 million.
Oh, man. So I can spend it on something, I can invest it, go on the best shopping spree ever. I don't think I could spend $1 million in a shopping spree if I tried. So I'd have
Lotto
to say...
tickets.
I'd invest it.
All right, you'd invest.
Mm-hmm.
Kylie!
All right, I mean, I'm not happy about it. If I had to choose going into this, I feel very similar to you guys. I would have wanted to be Courtney. I mean, I think I maybe... Chloe in real life, but Kylie.
Oh.
All right.
Interesting.
So what is it saying? To some, I might seem impulsive and shallow, but it's really because you're fully dedicated to living the exact kind of life you want. I mean, I don't think that I come off impulsive or shallow, but I do think I am dedicated to living the kind of life I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, I guess I do have a lot of haters, like it says. But I'm going to keep doing
me. Well, you know, haters going to hate.
That's true. And I'm just going to live my truth. So, all right, Kylie.
All right. Well, I think we're good.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited. And any other celebrity news topic you want to have me back on for, I'd be happy to come back.
You've got a great radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
We should keep her.
We should.
She could do weather and sports.
Come in for an ad break.
Yeah. Oh, before you go, what is a drunk slob kebab?
You know, I don't know, but I think it is what it is. I think it's just a phrase about just not having it put together.
Bible.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Cathartic Yardstick Podcast, where I move away from the mic to breathe in. Join us again.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It could be your last.